The songs, thank God's good, everything's, but everything leads to what? This hour. For the gospel of the grace of God, we'll go forth the word of God. At this time, I know you have your Bibles open, everything all ready to go. At this time, Deacon Howard Gavin will take us further into our service. The message of the hour, the gospel of the grace of God, which is the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation. Again, let's say amen for Deacon Howard Gavin. Amen.
Amen. We certainly praise God, our help, our hope, and who is our Father. Amen for his goodness and grace and all of us being here today. Let us pray and ask God's enablement.
Amen.
Righteous Lord, our God and our Father, again we come to thank you and bless you, Lord, in this gathering to worship you, Lord, and to learn of you through the enlightenment that only the Holy Spirit can give us.
Yes.
From your word. And Lord, we thank you for all that have come and for those, Lord, that will listen in. You've caused to listen in afar and abroad. Have your way, Lord, with each mind, every spirit. Give comprehension and enlightenment, Lord, as you have eternally predetermined and preassigned unto your people. We thank you, Lord, for this day of your grace, and Lord, cause us to praise you as you give us comprehension. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are still speaking from the subject matter and the document that the Lord had given our pastor to write, entitled God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation. Now, I anticipate having this and one more time in this document. That's my thinking, but the Lord knows. God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation. Our base scriptures are in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, so we're going to ask all to turn there. And Elder Liverman, William Liverman, is our designated reader. And Elder, we, as usual, we will read verses 1 and 2 from the King James Version. And we will continue verses 3 through 7, King James Version and interlinear Greek text.
Amen.
Again, God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Sovereignty means supreme power or authority, and it emphasized God's absolute right in doing that, and what he has done in choosing some, not all, unto salvation. Election is just what it sounds like. Choose. And in choosing, you separate. You make a difference. So God chose some to salvation, not all. Our salvation is our eternal relationship in this dispensation, our eternal relationship and sonship position in Christ Jesus. It gives us deliverance from sin and its consequences, which is death, eternal death. Preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or ultimate loss. Amen. If you have, as it were, in time had something and you seem to have lost it or figure you have lost it in this time estimation, this is not the end of anything. Time is only testimony, created for testimony of what God have done. That's all time is for, to testify what God has eternally pre-assigned, predetermined through one decree, one saying, all. Amen. All right, Elder, we are going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to let the scripture speak to us regarding God's sovereignty in election.
Ephesians chapter 1.
Verse 1 and 2 from the King James Version, Ella.
Verse 1 and 2, King James translation.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God.
God's will. Mm-hmm.
To the saints which are at Ephesus.
Yes.
And to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Saints, we are only faithful in Christ as he gives us the enablement of faithfulness. Amen. He is the only faithful one, so we have to be, amen, given faithfulness. It's not in us. Read, Ella.
Verse 2. Grace to you.
Grace to you.
And peace from God our Father.
Grace is kindness. God's kindness is unmerited favor. It's his benevolence toward those whom he has chosen. Amen. It's his goodwill. Benevolence, kindness, a gift, graciousness, goodwill. Grace to you. And what else, Elder?
Grace to you and peace.
And peace where?
From God our Father.
Now we see where the scriptures tell us that our peace abides. Our peace is not in strong military. Our peace is not in our political associations. Our peace is not in our own so-called protection as we perceive it. Our peace is not in our own abilities. Grace and peace from God our Father. We cannot protect, help, continue, and enable ourselves. We need God. And what, Elder?
And the Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 3.
Verse 3 in the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm. Blessed the God
and Father,
mm-hmm,
of the Lord of us.
Of the Lord of us.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The having blessed us.
Yes.
With every blessing spiritual.
Uh-huh.
In the heavenlies in Christ.
In the heavenlies in Christ. Was that from the interlinear, Elder?
Yes.
All right. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us. This is one thing that, amen, God's people need, ought to understand and carry presently within our mindset. Jesus is the Lord of us. He rules. He owns us. We, amen, proceed at his bidding and enablement. Things that are pre-assigned unto us, he has given us, amen, as Lord over us. So when we face the things of life, the situations of life, all of them, whether we like them or not, whether we agree with them or not, whether we think that they advance us or humiliate us, mm-hmm, Jesus is Lord of us.
Yes.
Amen. And he rules, he controls,
mm-hmm,
he helps, he delivers according to his will.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us. And another thing that we do well to remember, everything regarding us as the elect of God, and everything in creation is in completion. God is not doing things on a daily basis. He is only manifesting or showing to creatures and creation what he has already done. Time itself is a creation, and it was only created for testimony. Testimony is evidence of God showing what he has eternally accomplished, finished, done in a saying, according to Hebrews 11 and 3. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 3. God has accomplished everything. Nothing is in incompletion. Book of Revelation speaks even of the end of time itself, when there would be time no more. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Our lives, our all, are complete. We are just going through daily testimonial depictions and processes in time, which God has predetermined in his one decree. Everything we run into, everything happened to us, and everything we do, noble or not, hallelujah, is in completion. God is showing us what he has pre-assigned in creation to creatures and to his elect.
Amen.
Evil, amen, was decreed and created to glorify God. Where do we think evil come from? It was waiting over there till God got through creating through one saying and said, I'll get in there and mess up everything he did. No, 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 no. Evil is a creation to glorify God so that we will know good by seeing evil.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And that we will depend on God in the presence of evil. Because to depend on him. Thank God. Even the evil in our sinful nature that was also assigned to us. Let me repeat. Pre-assigned to us in eternal, in eternity, in one decree. In one decree of God, again, Hebrews 11 and 3, in the one decree of God, everything, all, in existence. One saying, all in existence.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes. Thank God.
All right, Elder. Verse 4.
Verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
As he chose us in him.
As he chose us in him.
Before foundation of world.
Before foundation of world.
To what be could, us holy?
What could be plainer? But I can tell you this. I have not the ability, nor no minister have the ability to cause one to believe. Believing is pre-assigned. We are proclaimers of truth that God has enlightened and enabled us to proclaim. Philippians 1:29. It hath been given us on the behalf of Christ, not only the two believing, having believed in him, but also the other part which we disdain and don't want no part of, but he is Lord of us and he has pre-assigned it also to suffer for his sake.
Yes.
And are being caused of God to identify with who we are. Or identify with Christ, who is our life, and we are members of Christ's body. Just like you have a body and all that's in it, Christ's body is us, the church, not Israel, not those Gentiles that are joined to Israel in blessing, not the saints that are outlined in the Old Testament, even before Israel was manifestly brought together as a nation. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But we are the church, which is his body.
Mm-hmm.
It is manifested, not started, manifested. Remember, in eternity, one saying, all was created. Now we are going through manifestation. God is showing piecemeal,
mm-hmm.
process-wise, what he has eternally done, created in one saying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are members of his body, the church, and it has been manifested in this dispensation, which started or was manifested around 2,000 years ago unto the Apostle Paul, as he was given the truth by our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver to the grace church, which is his body. All of God's word from Genesis to Revelation is true and truth. All of it. But all of it is not unto us in this, the grace dispensation, there are seven of them, starting with innocence and conscience in the garden. And we are in now the grace dispensation. All of the Bible is not truth for us for direction or directives. Amen. There were directives given in each of the seven dispensations. God told Noah to build a boat. He didn't tell Adam to do it. He told Abraham to come out from his kindred. He didn't tell Noah. Different instructions that God has delivered to his elect, and they are based in dispensations or administrations or house rule. And we are in the grace dispensation. It never reverts to law. Never. Righteousness is right.
Yes.
Doing good is right. And we have to, because of God, to do it, because he has pre-assigned good unto us. The old folk used to say, when you see me walking right, God is using me. When you see me talking right, God is using me. Because I think each and every one of us know the contrary. We could talk and speak right this moment, and before you know it, we could go contrary to speaking that which is good and right. At least I can. Praise Jesus. Because we have the infirmity in our flesh, it is the depraved, sinful nature that God assigned unto us for purpose and for testimony. That we can't do it, we can't accomplish it, we can't make it. He has already eternally made it for us. And we're going to see more about that. Go ahead, Ella.
That he chose us in him before foundation of world.
Chose us in him before the foundation or creation of the world. We were chosen, selected, picked out. A difference was made in the elect and the non-elect. And God made the difference eternally. Finish that, Ella.
To be us holy and unblemished before him.
Or being us, read now strictly from the interlinear, Elder, please. Being us as a present infinitive. They put two in the front of an infinitive in the English, amen, but it gives it a future in inference. We are not going to be. Holiness or separatedness is not what we are going to accomplish. We already were in the one decree, predetermination of God. Go ahead, Ella.
Being us holy and unblemished.
Being us holy and unblemished.
Before him in love.
Before him in love. And I am totally aware that there are no gerunds, words ending in ing, in the original Greek language. I'm aware of that. But it's still a present infinitive. And putting two in the front of it still gives it a future connotation. It is not future regarding us. Everything of everything and everything of us, the elect of God, who are the body of Christ in the grace dispensation, the church, has been pre-assigned, pre-ordained, determined. Amen. All right, Ella, go ahead on.
Amen. Verse 5. Having predestinated us.
That's right. Not predestinating presently. Having predestinated us. That is the aorist tense. Aorist tense is a completed act. Well, when was it completed? It was always completed. The only venue you can have a thing that was always completed is eternity. Time has a beginning, and time has an ending, according to Revelation and testimony. Amen. Time will end, and all the things in time will end with it. Having predestinated us to what, Elder?
To adoption of sons
through Jesus Christ. Where?
To him.
To him or to himself.
According to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Pleasure of the will of him. Who can thwart his will? The almighty, everlasting, eternal God. Who can thwart his will?
Amen.
Not even this sinful nature in the flesh. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. It cannot thwart the purpose of God. We are chosen, predetermined, being sons of God, members of the body of Christ. Nothing in creation can change that. That's even in the earthly sphere. That's even in the earthly sphere. It shouldn't be outrageously preposterous in the earthly sphere. When a couple procreates a child, nothing in time can change that relationship. Notice I say in time. Glory. Nothing can change that relationship. We've seen it on the news and in neighborhoods. Kids conspiring against their parents. Even have been the cause, physical, human, temporary, manifested cause of the parents' demise. When the news of it comes, they don't say a stranger or just a person killed this parent. They will say a son or a daughter. Nothing. If a parent or a child denounced their parents, that doesn't mean that they are no longer their child. They're just their wayward child. In time, nothing changes the physical relationship. In time. So how much more the Almighty God in eternity,
yes,
eternally decreed all things in one saying, nothing can change the relationship of us having been predetermined in our sonship position in Christ. Nothing, nothing can change that. Even the person you see when you look in the mirror that had messed up all yesterday and working on today in process. Nothing can change our eternal sonship position. I wanted to get that across. Read on, Elder.
Amen.
Verse 6, are we at?
Verse 6.
Mm-hmm. And all of this, spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, being chosen, predetermined in our sonship position, all of this is for this, what's coming up right now, or unto this. Read it, Elder.
To
praise,
of glory.
Of glory.
Of the grace of him.
Of the grace of him.
Oh, glory.
That's the purpose of all of it.
Glory to God.
To the praise of the grace. It was given unto us. We weren't there to get it or to extract it in the flesh. We weren't there to do that. It was a preassigned, eternally preassigned unto us. Even in Romans chapter 9, as the Lord gives testimony through the Apostle Paul of Jacob and Esau, they were twins, same mother, same father. Mm-hmm. Before either one was born, it's in Romans chapter 9, beginning around the 10th, 11th, 12th verse, before either was born or they were born, the Lord chose Jacob and rejected Esau.
Yes, it did.
Predetermined assignment of God. Everything was created in a saying of God before it manifested. Time was created for testimony only, and testimony is evidence, manifested evidence of what the Lord has accomplished, determined, done in one saying. We have to talk all day to get things accomplished. How many times I got to tell you? Didn't I tell you? And still don't get nothing done. Sometimes we have to rehash and rehash. That's what I'm doing now. But God accomplish all in one saying. One saying, all in existence. The visible and the invisible.
Glory.
Every incident, every humiliation, every accomplishment, supposedly, every accident, as we call them, they were predetermined, pre-assigned. Hallelujah. Everything. Every shallow lake, every great lake, every ocean, every span of land. All pre-assigned, predetermined in the one decree of God. The devil, evil, and my having messed up all yesterday and working on today, hypothetically. Read, Ella, start at the beginning of verse 6 again.
Verse 6.
All.
Interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6. To praise of glory.
Of glory.
Of the grace of him.
Of the grace of him. What?
Of, he favored.
Of which?
He favored
he
us.
He favored. The grace of him is that of which he favored or graced us. Where?
In the having been loved.
In the, he graced us.
Having been loved.
Aorist indicative. Completed action. A completed fact. A fact itself is from the Latin word factum. It means a thing completed. A fact is a thing completed. The aorist tense is a completed action and backed up by the indicative mood. A completed fact. He favored us, or he graced us in the having been loved before time was created. Remember? Verse 4, he chose us in him before the foundation or creation of the world.
Glory.
Being holy and unblameable before him whom it counts in love, having predetermined or predestinated us unto the adoption of sons in Christ Jesus. Having been loved, perfect tense, and the passive voice, we had nothing to do with its accomplishment or the coming into existence of it. Having been loved, perfect tense is a completed action with the results coming right down to the present. Whenever the present is or was, if it was 1210 BC, BC or AD, we were beloved of him. If it's tomorrow, I messed up all today. Sin is sin. Unrighteousness is unrighteousness. The only thing is right is righteousness. But if I messed up all today, and tomorrow, God gives me a tomorrow in the matrix, the dawning of another day, I am still beloved of him. And God is faithful.
I hear you.
He's not going to let us do what we want, when we want, how we want, if we want. He has predetermined all things. Nothing can change our sonship positioning and eternal relationship in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Almightiness has determined it, has done it. Nothing can change it. Nothing in existence, visible or invisible. Finish that, Ella.
Amen.
Having been loved.
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
In whom we have the redemption.
We have the redemption.
Through the blood of him.
Through the blood of him. What else?
The forgiveness of trespasses.
The forgiveness of trespasses. All of them.
According to.
Of them. According to.
The riches of the grace of him.
The riches or richness of the grace of him. Remember, grace means no merit. It's benevolence. It's kindness. It's graciousness. Grace. No merit. We were not in the venue of eternity in the flesh to merit anything, and nor can we do it in time in the flesh. It has already been accomplished. Everything has been accomplished on our behalf. All right, now to the document. I forgot to have those documents passed out by usher. I'll go ahead and read anyway. Sister Raj, while I'm reading, if you will, please pass out the doctrine, the document, and let her by acknowledgement know that you don't have one. Forgive me my shortcoming. On page 5 of the document that the Lord gave Pastor to write, God's sovereignty in election unto salvation. This is, as all the documents are on our website in the various sections, doctrinal sections and the like, sermons and all. Reading from the second paragraph. Now, having observed that foreordination is unto the end of or has its object, that is, the praise of his glory or the glory of his grace, we focus on a very familiar term as we consider the fuller meaning of the Greek word epinon, translated praise. The word is derived from the combining of epi, meaning upon, and the root enos, meaning praise. Here we note the significance of prefixing the preposition as it add the idea of praise or on or upon praise on the basis of what God's glorious grace has accomplished, which intensifies the praise. Thus, on the basis of the fact that God's grace has made our foreordination possible, it engenders supreme praise, commendation, and applause, even a grace praise. For one to understand the impact of a grace praise, we now focus on the meaning of the Greek phrase translated, his glorious grace. Note the King James as well as other versions translate with equal justification the general phrase, unto the praise of the glory of his grace, his kindness. Here the basis of this rendition is the thought that our having been foreordained is unto the end of the praise of the glory that belongs to his grace. This is why we go to the scriptures and let the scriptures speak, rightly divided, dispensationally divided, and covenantally divided, and properly exegeted or scripturally interpreted as the scriptures, what we call the New Testament, in which is in case the Grace Testament, that is the 14 epistles that the Lord Jesus gave unto the Apostle Paul to write and deliver to and for the benefit of the Grace Church, which is his body. For one to understand the impact of a grace praise, we now focus on the meaning of the Greek phrase, his glorious grace. Note the King James Version, as well as other versions, translate with equal justification the general phrase, unto the praise of the glory of his grace. Here the basis of this rendition is the thought that our having been foreordained is unto the end of the praise of the glory that belongs to his grace, as indicative of the genitive case of possession. Genitive case in the Greek speaks of ownership or possession. Our focus is on the Greek word thoxes, as we believe it to be most effectively rendered glorious. In this verse, verse 6, which we just finished, here it depicts God's honorable, splendid, exalted grace. In verse 2, the word charis, grace, depicts that which is given free. You don't have to tarry for it. Free. You don't have to get baptized for it. Free. You don't have to shake not only the preacher's hand, nobody's hand. Free. You don't have to sit on the mourner's bench for it. Free. You don't have to belong to a certain church. or denomination to get it, because it was given before the foundation or creation of the world. We came here saved. It just was not manifested to us. We come to know. I didn't know I belonged to the Lord. I thought I was on my way down yonder until the Lord rescued me through enlightenment that caused me to know that I belong to Him. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 2, the word kadesh, grace, depicts that which is given free without obligation and on a non-meritorious basis. In this verse 6, we believe that it refers to God's gracious act of foreordaining His elect solely based upon Jesus' gracious act of dying on the cross, get this, for us, not for everybody, and then it's up to you to believe to get in. No, Christ died for us, the elect in eternity. The blood was shed in eternity. Read Revelations for confirmation or corroboration. Revelation 13 and 8, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The sacrifice was in place in eternity when we were chosen, elected, and selected. Calvary was testimony of what is in God's decree. It is God's word that bring a thing into existence. Remember this, saints, those in our viewing audience, and those in our immediate presence. God's word determines a thing into existence, not the seeing of it. It having been spoken into existence by one decree. Read Hebrews 11 and 3. The actual quoting of it escapes me right now, and I'm not going to mess it up. Hebrews 11 and 3. God having said a thing in eternity is what brings it into existence. Not when we see it. That is manifestation in time when we all see it. Even Adam, the first human being, and Eve, when they saw it, was manifestation. Amen. But it was actualized in the one saying or decree of God. One saying, all in existence, visible and invisible. So, God's gracious act of foreordaining His elect solely based upon Jesus' gracious act of dying on the cross for us, not everybody. Referencing Romans 3, 4 and Acts 13, 48. Elder, would you go there? And congregation, will you turn to Acts 13? And we're going to begin at verse 42 through 48. Let me finish this. We consider that apart from the manifestation or the showing or the exhibiting of God's grace of predestination in eternity and Calvary on time, which was the display of God's grace to us in this venue of time and physicality. But God having spoken us, amen, in existence and members of the body of Christ in eternity. God's grace of predestination in eternity and Calvary in time, other than that, none would be saved. Thus our highest praise and adoration and gratitude should be reserved for the glorious, splendid, and exalted grace of God. Everyone had to be saved by the means of grace, but grace was not the dispensation. Grace is a unilateral covenant that God made with His elect. Innocence and conscience were bilateral covenants. Adam and Eve did their part. Don't eat that. God did His part. He blessed them. But they ate that. There was a condition. He said, in the day you eat thereof, you surely die. That was a condition. All right, now to Acts 13. We're going to see an exhibition of the glorious, matchless grace of God, without which nobody, no one could be saved. Ever.
That's it.
Ever. No one. Without God's grace. Everyone had to be saved of grace, but again, grace was not the house rule in other dispensations of law, kingdom, human government under Noah, consciousness and innocence under Adam, hallelujah, and law under Moses. Elder, begin reading at verse 42. Of the 13th chapter of Acts, we are going to look at a display of God's grace.
Acts chapter 13, beginning with the 42nd verse.
Yes, and I think we will stay into the interlinear Greek text, Elder. Yes.
Acts chapter 13.
Matter of fact, read 42 and 43 from the King James as well as the interlinear.
Acts chapter 13.
Beginning verse 42.
Verse 42.
King James Version with 42 and 43. All right, read, Ella.
And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue.
All right, and Paul had been preaching that which was given to him, but he had not the mystery truth reveal unto him, amen, and he had not begun to preach it unto the Gentiles, of which he was primarily assigned to, according to the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus told Ananias to go and pray for Saul, that he might receive his sight back after the Lord had knocked him off his beast, Ananias naturally was reluctant to go to this man. And the Lord told him, said, no, go. He is a chosen, elected, picked out, selected vessel unto me to bear my names. And he put Gentiles first, unto the Gentiles. Then he put kings and put the children of Israel last. All right. And going out. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles did what, Elder?
The Gentiles besought that these words mm-hmm. might be preached to them the next Sabbath.
The next Sabbath. All right. Some of the Jews went out, as we'll see in the next verse. Read verse 43, Elder.
Verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up. Many of the Jews and religious proselytes.
Many of the Jews and religious proselytes, those that had given themselves to Judaism, they were proselytes of Judaism. Amen. They did what?
Followed Paul and Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
Who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God.
Not in the kingdom gospel that were given to the 12 or the kingdom assignments, not to law, amen, but continue in the grace of God. That is it for this dispensation. The mystery truth speaks of God's grace that was given us before the foundation or creation of the world. Continue in the grace of God. All right. 44. Mm-hmm.
And the next Sabbath day.
Next Sabbath. Came almost the whole city together.
To hear the word of God.
The word of God. The verbs in these verses are in the aorist or the perfect tense. Nothing is happening again. As I said earlier, nothing is happening or occurring for the first time on a day-to-day basis. Them speaking to them, aorist tense. God has predetermined everything. Everything. If you scratch is predetermined.
I hear you.
God had to enable it. Oh my God. If the Lord does not give you the next breath, how are you going to survive physically?
I hear you.
Physically, I'm talking about. You won't need breaths in our actualized position and essence, which is spirit. And we were dispatched unto earth in bodies to fulfill God's decree or his saying.
Glory to God.
In testimony. In representation showing what God has determined or said. The saying, God, everything is in the saying, not in the seeing. The seeing is testimony. So if you see something distasteful, abhorrent, look detrimental, yes, take the necessary precautions if it's detrimental to your health. But if you can't get out the way, that's not the end of you. If you can't escape it because God has not delivered you from it. Hallelujah. I wish I could speak this like it's in my spirit.
Glory.
Ella, read on. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God.
Verse 45.
45.
But when the Jews saw the multitudes.
But when the Jews saw the multitude, this the other Jews.
They were filled with envy.
Some were chosen and elected of God. They wanted to hear, along with the proselytes. They wanted to hear. But the others that were not ordained unto this dispensation of grace or elected of God, they did not want to hear it. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with what?
Filled with envy and spake against those things.
Against those things.
Which were spoken by Paul.
Which were spoken by Paul.
Contradicting and blaspheming.
Contradicting and blaspheming, speaking evil of those things, putting them down, to use our present day vernacular. All right, verse 46, Elder, from the King James and the Interlineal. Verse 46.
Verse 46. King James translation. Then Paul and Barnabas.
Then Paul and Barnabas.
Waxed bold. And said.
Preordained of God their boldness. Their boldness. The Lord delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. He delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He did not deliver the Christians that were thrown in the arenas and starve the lions set loose on them to devour them. He did not deliver them from the act. He delivered them in spirit as they looked up and praised God while they were being devoured. This is not you, and this is not the end of you here in time. This is for testimony only. Of what God has predetermined and pre-assigned regarding each of us.
I hear you.
Testimony, evidence, not of what we are doing, what God has done. You get a new job, a good job, paying good. That's according to God. Then you get mad at the boss, say something you hadn't ought to say it in righteousness. You get let go. That's according to God. Or if just perhapsly, you get let go. That's according to God. Amen. Finish that 46 Elder.
Last bold and said, it was necessary.
It was necessary
that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life.
Pay attention to this last part. Seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life.
Lo, we turn to the Gentiles.
I emphasize those last points because we are going to get the truth. We are going to the interlinear Greek text now and look at that verse as it is spoken more accurately in the Greek language. You don't choose whether you serve God or not, seeing you put it from you. They were not in and of the determination of it. They were only doing what they had to do, or must needs, or were caused to do. They were only doing. All right, Ella, verse 46 from the Interlinear Greek text.
Verse 46, Interlinear Greek. And speaking boldly.
And speaking boldly, aorist tense.
Paul and Barnabas. Said.
What they said was decreed of God. Everything in existence, visible and invisible, is in the predetermined decree of the Creator. He's also a designer. You don't create without design and without purpose. Who do we think God is? Us? Bless Jesus.
Glory to God.
They're saying this was predetermined. It's an aorist indicative. It's a completed fact. What do they say, Elder?
To you, it was necessary firstly.
It was necessary firstly
to be spoken the word of God.
To be spoken the word of God. The first and foremost, the primary thing in existence is God's word. It was necessary firstly unto you because they were God's covenant people. They had a covenant relationship with God. We as Gentiles did not
have. That's it.
In manifestation, in actualization, we've always had a covenant with God. And it's the grace covenant. It's not kingdom. It's not law. It's not innocence, conscience, human government. It is grace. Our contract with God is grace, and it's unilateral. All the responsibility to the effectuation and fulfillment of the covenant and us being manifested in the body of Christ to manifestly receive all those spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ that we have is in God's grace. A unilateral covenant. Unilateral. Let me say this. Every one of God's elect, whether they have heard the gospel, remember, we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world, whether they have heard the gospel or not, whether they didn't understand the gospel or not, whether they were babes and were taken out of here through child mortification, or even whether they were aborted purposely or not, whether we are mentally competent or not, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Whether we come to fruition in a body or not. Both David and Jeremiah say, he knew me before, I was conceived before conception. He knew me. It didn't say he knew about me, but you hear that too. In manifestation in this voice. Because he had preassigned the direction of the evil nature.
That's it.
He don't have to cause us to do wrong. It's according to the nature. Aborted purposely or unpurposely. So you don't have to join no political persuasion when you have truth on your side. Now, if you do, that's up to you. We were chosen in him. Nothing can, in time, the creation of time can change what was done in eternity. Nothing. Amen. Death, abortion, nothing. Mental incompetence, nothing can change who we are in Christ. Okay.
Glory.
To be spoken the word of God, and what? Since?
Since
ye put away it.
Ye put away it.
And not worthy
that's
judge.
A present indicative. They were only doing what they were assigned to do. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. If they put it away, it might be clear evidence that they were not chosen in Christ. They were only doing what was pre-assigned to them. Present indicative. Indicative is a fact. A fact is a thing that's done. A thing that was finished was always finished. And the only place you can have an always finished entity is in eternity. But it manifesting in the present. Mm-hmm. If it has not been decreed of God in his decree, it cannot manifest. It cannot manifest because it doesn't exist. By one decree, one saying, all. As I said, even your scratching. One saying, all. They put it away because that's all they could do. They couldn't do anything else with the word of God. It was not assigned to them to accept it. And we're going to see in the next verse, and I'm going to have to hurry up with it because I'm cognizant of the time. Go ahead with that, Ella. You put away it.
And not worthy, judge yourselves of the eternal life.
Present indicative, and not worthy, judge yourselves. Nothing could be done but what was done. Judge means here, this word judge is, again, a present indicative. It's a fact. A fact is a thing that's done. It means to separate or make distinction. They had to be separated because they were not predeterminately belonged to the Lord. And so what else held them? Judge yourselves
of the eternal life.
Of eternal life.
Now behold.
We're going to see in the next verse, you don't make decisions in any moment to become or not become a child of God. We're going to see it in the next verse.
Behold, we turn to the nations.
All right, verse 47.
For thus has commanded us.
The Lord.
Perfect
indicative in the passive voice. They had to do what was commanded eternally. Perfect tense is a completed action in eternity with results coming right down to the present whenever the present is. 1,000 years from now, that will be the present. The results come right down to it. For thou hast commanded us, the Lord.
I have set thee for a light of nations.
They couldn't do anything else. A false unto the nations. False is a light that is not kindled. We are children of false, children of light. You start a fire or kindle a fire. That is photizo or illumination. False, the Greek word false, is the light that is not started or kindled. It is the eternal light. Jesus is that light as spoken in the first chapter of John. The Greek word phos is used. I've set thee a light to manifest to the Gentiles, what Paul is saying here, manifest to the Gentiles that they are children of phos. Not to make them. Remember, that was done before creation. But to in giving them God's word, it would manifest to them, just like to us, at one time or another, that we belong to the Lord. It'll come clear. If we try to run away from it, where are you going to run? He's God of all creation. Read that one. I've set thee for a light force
of nations. To be thee for salvation.
Being thee for salvation or
to end of the earth.
Manifest their salvation as ours was manifested unto us. But now that it's manifested, we find that we were chosen in him before creation. Now that it's manifested.
for salvation unto ends
of the earth.
All right, here it is. The last verse, verse 48, and I'm going to have to end here. I will not get to 1 Timothy. Maybe next time. Maybe two more times in this document instead of one more, as I thought.
Verse 48.
Verse 48, interlinear Greek text.
And hearing the nations
and
rejoice.
The Gentiles or the nations rejoice.
And glorified the word of the Lord.
Now the others didn't. They were filled with envy and spoke blasphemously against those things that the word of God that was spoken. Rejoice and glorified the word of the Lord. God's word is everything. It's everything of everything. God's word. Not our seeing or trusting in anything else, but Christ, who is the manifestation of God's word. All right. And glorify the word of the Lord.
And believe as many
is an aorist indicative. It is a completed fact. Double whammy. Aorist tense, completed action, fact. Completed fact. In the only venue where a thing can always have been completed. That's eternity. Time had a beginning, remember? It had a beginning. And time, my brothers and sisters here and abroad, time has an ending. It has a definite ending. Read the later chapter of Revelation. And believe. You don't just believe. Belief was preassigned.
As many were having been disposed to life
in the King James,
life eternal,
have ordained, having been disposed to believe and disposed unto life eternal. As many as having been. So those that rejected the word of God couldn't do anything else. And if someone in your family or your friends or your associates or on your job, you speaking to them the things of God and they reject them, don't want to hear them, don't fret. If they belong to God, if they are his elect, they are his elect. They may not believe now. They may not be his elect, but also they may not have been given to believe now. But not believing now does not say that they are not God's elect. I'm going to say this real quick and I'll be down. I had a brother. I didn't know he was a brother at the time. I was at work and I was ministering to some individuals I worked with. And he got in my face. You know, in your face. Y'all familiar with that. He got in my face and told me, expletive, nobody want to hear that expletive, expletive that you are talking. I said, oh man, get out of here. I consign him to being not chosen or not saved. You know how we say it. That brother disappeared for a few months, short few months. When he came back, he was carrying a Bible that was bigger than mine. We do not know who God's elect are. The Lord has revealed unto our spirit that we belong to him. We can't judge a person on sight that they don't belong to God or what they do. He told me expletively to my face, nobody got in my face. I remember the time I got him out my face. So tried anyway, you know. I didn't know he was the elect of God. So you know that you are God's chosen. Rejoice in his grace. And leave the other manifestation unto the Lord. God bless you.
Amen. All right. Come on, give the Lord another hand.